Well, after Gene Wilder died, much attention was devoted to the movie star's relationship with another comedic superstar, Gilda Radner. Much less attention was paid to his widow, Karen Boyer, who cared for Wilder for many years as he dealt with Alzheimer's. Today, we'll look inside the challenge and rewards of caregiving for those with the disease, and we're going to talk about a new drug that shows unusual promise when it comes to providing a cure. With us today, Dr. Jeffrey Burns is back. He's co-director of the KU Alzheimer's Disease Center. Jeff, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Steve.
You bet, Jeff. Deborah Schaus is also here. She's author of Connecting in the Land of Dementia, Creative Activities to Explore Together. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Stephanie Moore is also here. She's a caregiver and director of Health and Human Services for Region 7, which includes Kansas City. Her husband is former Kansas Congressman Dennis Moore, who's been battling Alzheimer's for several years. Stephanie, good morning to
you. Good morning, Steve.
Well, how are you? And how's your husband doing, Stephanie?
He's doing well. Thank you very much for asking.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Well, I'm tired.
Are you?
Yeah. I think that's what most caregivers would like to say,
quite
honestly.
That's the word, right?
Yeah.
Explain that. Why are you tired?
Well, I think you try and maintain so much of normal for so long, whether that's visiting with the doctors or reading books that will help you or just getting through life the regular way with family and friends and jobs and housework and house maintenance, that pretty soon you just get really tired of trying to juggle all those balls. And you need to slow down a little bit.
Deborah Schaus, you've juggled these balls before in your own life. How tough is it?
I think it is a challenge, and I like what Stephanie said about slowing down.
Yeah.
I think another key thing is reaching out to other people for help and support.
Mm. Why is that so important?
I think you can lose your perspective. I know for me, when my mom was going through a time where she was really repetitive.
You were on the show the last time talking about that.
Yes. Yeah. And a friend was over visiting, and she said, "Your mom is really interesting." It really helped me because my mom is really interesting, but I hadn't been able to notice it because it was wearing on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gave me a new perspective, and I think other empathetic people can do that for you.
Dr. Jeff Burns, you watch all this from your position over at the KU Alzheimer's Disease Center. Reaching out, getting support from others, and I'm also wondering about the word patience here as you view all this.
Yeah, I mean, every caregiver needs support and assistance and infinite patience. So I see it in every caregiver that I meet with, and I do my best to encourage them and get them to find the support and refer them to the Alzheimer's Association. And, you know, it is essential, and I think every caregiver struggles with a lot of guilt and a lot of...
Guilt?
Yeah.
Why guilt?
Guilt with, decisions that have to be made or the lack of patience that everybody inevitably has from time to time or on a daily basis. So there's just a lot of emotional needs for a caregiver, and then losing their partner gradually that they've known their entire life is a hard thing to go through.
Stephanie Moore, tell me about guilt. I wouldn't think of that word necessarily that Dr. Burns just threw out there.
Oh, it's a big word. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's one that most caregivers won't even say, that they're feeling guilty about the decisions that they're making, whether it's as simple as, I think that I've heard Michelle Needens refer to them at the Alzheimer's Association as therapeutic lies. Those little things you say, whether you're really tired of trying to explain something or repeatedly answering the same questions, you may change that so that, we will have dinner. Instead of saying what we're going to have for dinner and when we're going to have for dinner, because then that's a question you'll get again in 10 minutes or less, you just say, yeah, we'll have dinner. So it's a little guilt that goes along with not actively having a conversation as you normally would.
Or even decisions about, I know you've made with Dennis, he's not in the home 7 days a week now. Is that where guilt comes in sometimes?
A little bit. I finally got to the point where I realized I couldn't do everything, and I am working full time, and it was for his safety and security and socialization, as anybody who knows Dennis knows.
Yeah.
He's a very social person.
Yes, he is.
That we located a day-stay program, a small group, about 8 or 10 people who are the same boat, and he goes there and stays 3 days a week. I'm able to work from home 1 day a week. He doesn't need full-time care and my attention all the time, but I'm in the house. And then I've used my sick leave that I've saved up and take off one day a week as well. So that's how we're working it right now. And the mm-hmm. guilt of dropping him off in the morning, much like you reflect back to when you had small children and you drop them at daycare
yes.
or preschool, it's like, oh, how will they make it without me? Well, they're just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to get over that guilt and know that you're doing it for yourself, because if your cup is completely empty, you have nothing to give someone else. So you've got to take care of yourself.
Now, Deborah Schaus, I'm wondering about this notion of caregivers, and having not been in that position yet in my life, I'm just wondering about, you know, you become a caregiver, and there's a certain isolation that goes with that as you focus so steadily on your partner or whoever you're caring for, your mother in your case. And is there a tendency sometimes to lose sight of the fact that you do need help and support from others because you're so riveted on the tasks at hand every day?
I think that's a great observation, Steve. And I think people turn into the sort of super daughter, super son syndrome where you feel like you can do everything.
Yes.
One of the things I've really appreciated about the research on this book I've been doing is that these experts who are working with expressive therapies such as music and art and gardening, they're things for people to do together that can be adapted so you can continue some of the things that you enjoy and adapt some of the activities your loved one enjoys.
Tell us a little more about some of those activities. What are you talking about?
They can be as simple as putting on a pair of headsets and listening to favorite music, music that really sparks your memories. They can be as simple as cooking in the kitchen together in a way that suits both of you. They can be viewing art together. But all of these are things that don't require memory. They invite imagination, creativity by asking open-ended questions so that everyone is connected and feels comfortable talking.
Stephanie, does that resonate with you, these activities that don't require memory? It's an interesting expression that Deborah just threw out there.
It is, yeah, and it does help tremendously. Dennis, as you know, plays guitar. And the other day I received an old tape, which had been converted to a CD from someone he'd gone to Washburn Law School with back in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Songs I had never heard. But I put it in the car as we were driving. He was singing along to those songs.
Oh, really?
For some reason.
Yeah.
Who knows? He was able to remember those. But playing guitar and having a good old time is a great way to spend time together,
yeah.
Whether it's with me or other folks just in a jam session.
I want to get our listeners involved here. If you're a caregiver for someone dealing with dementia and can tell us what you've learned in the process, maybe you could help other listeners, give us a shout. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Jeff Burns, I wanted to ask you about this talk, these headlines I'm reading about the potential for new cures, breakthroughs here. Here's a headline I saw last night. New drug that halts mental decline is best news for dementia in 25 years. Is that hype or is there something going on out there?
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on, and I think there's a lot of hope. So what that refers to is a study that came out last week that found that a certain drug that is designed to pull plaque out of the brain, the amyloid plaque that builds
That's exactly
up in Alzheimer's
what I'm talking
disease.
About. Yeah.
Yeah, so that the results of an early trial, phase 1 trial, studying that study drug, found that the plaque was reduced dramatically, and in those patients there was improvement, or actually less decline over time. So
what does the plaque do in the brain? Is that the cause of dementia?
Well, that's the big question, is we don't know if the amyloid plaque is the cause or a consequence of the cause of the disease, but it's been the target, our therapeutic target for the last 20, 30 years in terms of going after Alzheimer's. And so we're really at the point where we're testing that directly. Is amyloid causing the disease, or is it the result? Is it the smoke or the fire? I mean, if it's the fire, we may be able to put it out. If it's the smoke, we're not sure what the effect will be.
And the suggestion here is that the plaque somehow blocks transmissions through the brain when the brain's doing whatever it does.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence that the plaque has a negative impact on the brain and the synapses and the brain activity. And so now we're testing it in people. We have new drugs. This is one of actually many, many study drugs that we're assessing. This one that came out last week. And we're actually in a phase three trial of that compound right now, and we're recruiting participants at this currently. So we're looking for participants for that trial to test that compound.
I can imagine a doctor in your position doesn't want to raise hopes too much until we have firmer results that go beyond this early trial that you referred to. But how hopeful are you, Jeff, as you look at what's going on out there? Because it sounds like a lot of stuff's churning.
There is a lot of stuff churning. I'm actually very hopeful. You know, we never know if something is going to work or not. You know, we have a lot of evidence that everything we're testing is, you know, has the potential to work. You know, if you look back over the last 15 years, we've, you know, dozens and dozens of study medications have been tested. None of them have shown to be beneficial. So, you know, our batting average is low, but we only need one. And we're testing more compounds right now than ever before. And so I think over the next 3 to 5 years, you know, there's going to be some big breakthroughs. That's my hope. And it may be this one we're hearing about in the news right now.
Well, you're sitting next to Stephanie Moore here, so a hard question. If these drugs prove to be effective, might they help someone who has been struggling with Alzheimer's for a number of years, Jeff?
Potentially.
Could Dennis Moore be helped is where I'm going here.
I mean, you know, that's our hope. We're working on treatment for people who are in the disease at all stages, and we're working on prevention. And, you know, that's a huge new area of focus is can we, you know, take healthy people and keep them healthy and keep them from developing Alzheimer's disease. So a big part of our Alzheimer's Center is focused on prevention, and a big part is focused on what can we do to help people who have dementia.
Stephanie Moore, as you listen to this, what are you thinking?
Well, I certainly do hope there is something out there that's coming along quickly for our case, but if not for us, for the future, for other folks, for you know, if there's a genetic connection, perhaps for Dennis's kids, you know, let's make sure there's something for the families to have some hope with as well.
Because dementia runs in Dennis's family.
It certainly seems to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Deborah Schaus, what do you think about all this talk of cures and wonder drugs?
Well, I think it's important to keep exploring and keep talking about it. And I'm certainly walking 10,000 steps every day because I know that movement is something very important. That's one of the things that I know Dr. Burns is
exploring. Because you're worried about in your own life because your mom suffered.
I'm trying to be as preventive as I can. And part of my focus has just been enjoying the moment. So with my friends right now who are living with dementia, how can I stay connected with them? Looking for different ways that we can stay connected and appreciate who they are now and our relationships.
Let's go to some phone calls here as we talk about caregiving for folks with dementia and Alzheimer's. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Johanna from Kansas City, Missouri. Did I say your name right?
It's actually Jonna.
Jonna, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling in. I work with Arts and Aging KC. We're a local nonprofit here in Kansas City. And we presented a theater piece last year at the Fringe Festival on this topic, on Alzheimer's caregiving. And we had caregivers participate in a form of self-revelatory theater. And they shared stories firsthand of caregiving with loved ones or friends with dementia. And we actually partnered with a member of Dr. Burns' research team to capture some audience response. So that was it was a really great piece. We got great audience response. The participants who were in the show expressed how gratifying it was to sort of share their story with other people. And we actually had a person with Alzheimer's disease who participated in the show as well. And it's continued to evolve. It's continued to keep going on with new stories and new people. And we actually have another showing of that piece coming up September 18th in Liberty. So we're trying to expand it to different counties in the Kansas City area.
If people want to connect with it, John, how do they do that?
They can go to our website. It's artsandagingkc.org.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call.
Sure.
Let's go to Robert from Kansas City, Missouri. Robert, you're on Up to Date.
Hi. Real quick. Number one, I would tell the caregivers with their family that only one person can be in charge, and that's the go-to person. Think of it as the pack leader. The other thing, real quick, that they send emails to everybody. That way they're not repeating themselves. They've done it once. And people can go back and read that same email about information about how their family member's doing when they're in a good place to hear it. So those are the two suggestions I have, and they were helpful for with me.
What about this notion, Stephanie, that only one person can be in charge? Does that ring true to you?
It does. Mm-hmm. I think I spent a lot of time wondering if this was right or that was right. What would this child think or that person think? And the bottom line was when my daughter said to me, Mom, you just make the decision. Mm-hmm. You know what's best. Make the decision. So that sort of took some of that pressure and guilt that we were talking about off of me.
Deborah, how about you in your work with your mom?
I was the person in charge, and I think it was really important for me, but I did have support. And so I had a supportive brother, and I was very lucky. And I've heard of families who are second-guessing each other all the time. It just drains everybody's energy. Mm-hmm. So I think Robert has a really important idea there.
Okay. Let's go to Kim from Overland Park. Kim, you're on Up to Date. You there, Kim?
Oh, yes. Hello. My mother has Alzheimer's and has had it for quite a long time. She recently finished a study at KU Med Center on a potential drug. We haven't found that has been very helpful for her. But the best thing that we have done, she goes to what I call Mother's Day Out at Prairie Elder Care one day a week. And it really gives everybody a break, my dad, myself. And she really enjoys her time there, and it was a true find.
Oh, that's interesting. Sound like something people should think about, Deborah?
Absolutely. It makes a big difference. And as Stephanie said, we all want to be sociable. I mean, we want to have a feeling of purpose and engagement, and that really helps.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering about this transition, these roles that change over time. Stephanie Moore, you know, you've gone from being Dennis Moore's wife, you're still his wife, but you're also now his caregiver. How has that changed things for you?
Well, I think the biggest change is, I guess, that I am his wife, yes, legally, but the sharing of experiences and the chitter-chatter that you have, the pillow talk, looking for the future and planning of what you're going to do, that is not there.
Mm-hmm.
That is gone.
Mm-hmm. Tough.
Very tough.
Yeah. Deborah?
Yes. I think it is. There's definitely a grieving process that you go through as you, let go of your familiar relationship, and then you create a new relationship. And so for me, that's an important piece of it, is that you can have a new and different relationship. It can still be very meaningful.
That sounds like a big bite of the apple to me, Jeff, this idea of someone who's so familiar to you and then somehow developing a new relationship with that person at such an advanced point in life.
Yeah. I mean, there's big role reversals where somebody who maybe was the leader and did a certain, set of, duties from day to day, now it's all on the caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And there's often a lack of initiative that develops with Alzheimer's disease in the patient, and apathy and sort of less interest and less get up and go. And so that puts pressure on the caregiver to sort of try to push the patient or their loved one to move forward. And
What are good ways to do that?
Well, I mean, it's tough to do, and you got to individualize from one person to another. And I like to actually leave it to Deborah or Stephanie to comment on that. They have a lot more experience with that than me.
How do you push them, Deborah?
Well, I was just thinking of one of the contributors to the book offered an invitation to her husband every morning. So she had an invitation, and sometimes it was to taste a new breakfast cereal or to go for a walk, but she made it seem sort of fancy, and it really helped. And also to use humor as much as you can. So during a kind of a querulous time, one of my contributors said she walked in and she said, "You are the handsomest man in the room." And he was the only man in the room, so it made everybody laugh and it kind of chilled things out.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Clifton from Olathe. Clifton, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. One of the techniques I've been using with my wife dealing with her husband, her father's dementia was with photographs. I took a lot of the family photographs, both the old ones and the new ones with grandkids, and scanned them and put them onto one of these digital photo frames. And so it goes through as a slideshow automatically. But then I added one more step, is that on most of the photographs, especially the ones with grandkids, I put two copies of the photo. So as the slideshow would progress, the first photo would show up and the second photo would come up. And on that one, I labeled each one of the people in the photograph of the family.
That's neat.
This helps both him, but then also kind of helps the staff of the places that he lives so they can engage with him.
Stephanie Moore, photographs have been very important to your husband.
Yes.
Every time I'm with him, I see photographs. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Effective?
Effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, he's very aware of photographs of people who he's with. If he was going to be with you, Steve, he might find some new photos of you.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I think that helps him remember who you are. I know someone picked him up before I met them for dinner last night, and the woman said, gosh, he got to the house where we are staying. It's a bit complicated. But anyway, he put down the name of the people whose home they were at, even though they had done a house swap, and the other folks were in the Virgin mm-hmm. Islands. But of their house, so he would remember he'd been at that house. It's a way for him to remember where he's been. It's his memory, writing all of this down in pictures of folks.
I want to get to where else folks can get some help, and one place they can get some help is from Deborah Schaus's new book, Connecting in a Land of Dementia, Creative Activities to Explore Together, and she'll be talking about this book at 2 p.m. October 9th at the Kansas City Public Library on the Plaza. The event is co-sponsored by Rainy Day Books and Fairway. More information on that event, kclibrary.org. What other resources are out there that folks might want to think about, Deborah?
Well, of course, the Alzheimer's Association is a great resource. The Landon Center has intergenerational art activities and the Forever Young Choir that's open to the community. We have a dementia cafe here in Kansas City. So that's,
tell me about that.
Well, that is started by Mandy Schumacher, and it's part of creating a dementia-inclusive community. So it's held in a Dunkin' Donuts, and anybody from the community is invited. People living with dementia and their care partners are invited, and there's a different activity every month. Huh. I attended. We did a baseball activity. So we read Casey Up to Bat
yeah.
and looked at pictures and sang, and it was just wonderful. It was a lot of fun.
And Jeff, what else would you point to?
Well, I would say that, you know, the only way we're going to get to a cure is through trials, through clinical trials, mm-hmm. and participation in clinical trials is crucial, you know, one patient at a time. You know, times 1,000 for every trial we do. So, you know, we need people to join us and join our team in fighting this disease. So you know, joining a clinical trial or looking into it by calling the KU Alzheimer's Disease Center is an important step.
Okay, we're going to leave our conversation right there. I want to thank Dr. Jeffrey Burns, co-director of KU's Alzheimer's Disease Center. Deborah Schaus, her latest book, Connecting in the Land of Dementia, Creative Activities to Explore Together. And Stephanie Moore, Regional Director for Health and Human Services here in Kansas City. Her husband is former Kansas Congressman Dennis Moore. I always appreciate you guys telling your stories. And Stephanie, really appreciate you coming in here.
Happy to. I'll come back anytime.
All the best to you guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.